Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. Going to be a fun show this morning. We've got basically it's Kris Kringle himself sitting here across from me. He's got red hair. You look like the young Kris Kringle, don't you? Has anybody ever said that to you, sir?
No, sir.
No, they haven't. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Johnny Williams from John's Butcher Block. How you doing, Johnny?
Doing okay. Thank you.
I'm glad you're out here. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about the shop itself and how it came about, how you went about starting it, and as well as some of your history here in Fairfield. I know your dad has plenty of history in Fairfield, too. Let's first of all start the show by telling everybody who you are.
Well, my name's Johnny Williams. I was raised in Carmi. Dad come up here.
People don't need to bother you. I mean, you don't get, nobody bothers you being a Carmi boy, do they?
No.
See, that's what Lynn Wells is, too.
Well, actually, when I say that I'm from Carmi, I'll say, and don't hold it against
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there you go.
Got to follow up with that.
There you go.
But Dad come up May 1st of 89 with the Red and White store.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the rest is history. It's just, it's wonderful.
That's I can't believe that he wasn't at the Red and White already before that. That was, so he replaced probably Ronnie Gambrill?
Yes, sir.
At the Red and White? Okay. How's your dad doing now? Where's he at now?
He's doing good. He's a manager of the Little Giant grocery outlet down there at Carmi.
So he moved back to town?
Well, he always lived down in Carmi.
Oh, he was coming up from Carmi?
Drove every day.
When did you move up to Fairfield?
August of 04.
Okay, so when you started your store?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the John's Butcher Block. We'll get back. Actually, did you come up, when did you graduate from Carmi?
91.
So did Big John, do you want me to call him Big John or Little John or what would you prefer me call your dad?
Just John will be fine.
John. I'm going to call him Little John so people will understand. Did Little John, whenever he clearly raised you in the business, right?
Yes, sir.
When exactly did you start coming up and working with him? Do you recall?
Him and his brother had a store in Carmi on the east side before he come up here. And I started out there my freshman year in high school.
Which one was that? Out there by like where Two Tonys. No
yeah,
kidding.
Right next to it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Wags Market?
Yes, sir.
I don't recall that.
My grandfather's name was Mendel Wagner. And his nickname was Wag.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that was basically a family issue there, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
When did your grandpa get started in it?
Oh, I don't know. I do not know.
No kidding.
Before me.
Yeah, I guess so. So you got started at Wags Market. What was the first job you had growing up in the grocery business, Johnny?
Carrying out groceries and stocking shelves.
Were they still doing at that time? I remember you can ask Donita about this. I remember her son Steve being the bottle boy.
Yes, a lot of people start in the bottle shed.
Is that did you ever start? Did you ever have to go to the bottle shed?
Yeah, had to sort bottles.
Yeah,
you just got to make sure all the Cokes are together. What all
did that job entail? I mean, at that time, I guess people weren't using cans as much, so much for soda anyway, or plastic bottles hadn't been invented yet. I'm trying to remember how it. This is like 20, 30 years ago. How much were people getting as a deposit back on those?
I think a dime a bottle is
that
what
right?
it was. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So as the bottle boy, you took the dime. Did you get that dime?
Oh, no.
No, you
no.
didn't see that dime a bottle?
No, sir. just make sure all Coke's bottles are together and RC's bottles are together. And
okay,
Pepsi's
so you didn't have to.
Together.
I'm just asking. I'm trying to recall from the days gone by. Did you have to keep the green bottles separate from the clear bottles
no.
and that kind of stuff too?
No.
As long as it was the product, the company's product.
Yes, sir.
You were fine.
Yes.
How big of a shed did you have down there at Wags?
Actually, it was in the back corner of the store. It was still inside. Yes.
Oh, okay. Were they still collecting bottles when you guys came up to Fairfield?
Yes.
No kidding.
The checkout girls would write out them bottle receipts when people would bring them in.
Is that right? Well, see, now that, there's got to be. I bet you still see folks today that have been shopping Red and White and shopping before that. All you know people from 25, 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Shopping at the locally. Now, tell me, okay, you started. How old were you, think, when you started at Wags?
14.
I got to tell you, Johnny, that seems kind of surprising to me. I would have thought that John would have gotten you out there a little earlier than that. Why did he wait till you were 14?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you get into some kind of trouble that he wanted to, like, make sure you got back to the straight and narrow and had a good job? Is that what it was?
No, it was just...
You weren't...
golly, time to let him know what it feels like to earn $3.35 an hour.
I bet that's right, too. Okay, so you start out in the in bagging, right? And
yes, hauling. Sir.
And this is while folks were still taking groceries out to the cars, right?
Yes.
Does anybody still do that? Any big major chains?
I will. Oh, no, I don't.
Well, I know
I
you
don't
will.
Know. I don't know of anybody that will anymore.
We've been talking about, Len and I have been hitting pretty hard talking about shopping locally. And that's one of the things that your local merchants will do for you if need be, I presume, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're at Wags till, and you said you graduated in 91?
Yes.
So you worked there 2 or 3 years before you headed up to Fairfield. What was the difference between, was Wags still open or did your dad
no,
just leave it?
Did
it close?
It closed in, I think, around the end of summer of 1990.
I got to ask.
I believe.
I don't recall. Did that become anything else? As a
right now, it's Slay's Restoration.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. The reason I asked is I didn't know. I knew it was close to Two Tonys, but I haven't been out that way, and I haven't looked in Carmi lately. I didn't know if it got caught in the fire.
No, it didn't. But, you know, the ironic thing is Sean Slay is my cousin.
Uh-huh.
And he used to work out there carrying out groceries.
Oh, is that right?
And now, you know, he's got his carpet showroom.
Yeah, he's got – that's where the showroom – do they run the trucks out of there, too? Because they come up and hit my house from time to time.
I believe they do, but I don't know for sure.
I'll be doggone. Talking to Johnny Williams here on the Bruce Dickey Show. You're listening on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. We're talking about all things grocery, and we're going to get to John's Butcher Block here in just a few minutes because there's all kinds of things and tricks and things of the trade that John's going to tell us about how to go about cooking the meat that you bring in. And let's get up to Red and White. Red and White, and the only reason I'm harping on it is because I know about it. They had the biggest bottle shed I ever saw.
Yeah.
Did Johnny kick you out into the bottle shed? Mm-hmm. Were you the bottle man between Steve Cocklaser and Keith Cocklaser, I guess?
I may have been. I may have been.
What all did you do up here to Fairfield when he sent you up here?
Well, when I first started up here, it was carrying out groceries and stocking shelves. But over time, you know, learning, you know, running the dairy case and stocking frozen food. And
learning the butcher shop.
Yes, sir.
Who was the butcher? I'm trying to remember Red and White's cutter.
When Dad come up here, a guy by the name of Dale Orr.
Okay.
Come up here. He was working with my dad when I was born.
Oh, really?
Dale was, yes.
Wow.
And he was there till sometime in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And then and my cousin Jamie, he helped Dale over there. And then when Dale quit and got another job, then Jamie become head butcher.
How it sounds like you like to keep it a little bit in the family a little bit. Is there how many folks from your family with your grandpa and your dad and I presume your mother was involved in Wags too to an extent? Was she ever?
She worked some out at Wags. She worked some up here at Red and White.
How much of your family has worked in the grocery business?
And, matter of fact, my little brother, Andy, is the butcher for my dad down at Little Giant.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. How much older than Andy?
10 years.
Oh, okay. So he took him, he grabbed him early.
Yeah.
Just like, so did he start at 14 or did he start
He may have been a little bit older.
A little jerk. He gets away. He got away with hanging out with his friends.
He might have been 16.
he got to hang out with his friends a lot more than you did, didn't he, Johnny?
Yeah.
Are you still bitter?
No.
I'm talking with Johnny Williams. We're going to talk about John's Butcher Block here in Fairfield. We've been rehashing old red and white stories, and we'll talk some more about that stuff. Hope you're enjoying a trip down memory lane, and we're going to talk butchering coming up here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, back after these messages.
I seem to recognize your face. Haunting, familiar, yeah. I can't seem to place it. Cannot find the candle of thought to light your name. Lifetimes are catching up with me. All these changes take place. I wish I'd seen the place, but no one's ever taken me. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they it's my fate. Perhaps that's what no one wants to see. I just wanna scream hello. My God, it's been so long. Never dreamed you.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. We've got guest across the way. That is Mr. Johnny Williams. He's with owns and operates Johnny's Butcher Block here in downtown Fairfield. What made you decide on the place where you put it, by the way, Johnny?
Well, when I come up with the idea for doing this meat shop, I actually thought about the old station that was just east of Joe's Body Shop.
Uh-huh.
That Joe has recently redone.
Yeah, just tore down and yeah.
And but you got to get up to code with the health department.
Sure.
And I knew Ronnie Heflin, and yeah. I knew that his wife was over the health
Marty,
department
yeah.
at the time. And so I called Ron to talk to him about, you know, talking to Marty and making sure everything's up to code, and he asked me if I'd like to take a look at his building.
Well, you see, now that's the thing. He already had set up in there, I presume, with the faucets and the drainage and that kind of stuff that's required, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the origin of Johnny's Butcher Block, and I guess it was about the time your dad left the Red and White, right? Has it been that long, or was it before? Was that still open back then?
No, Red and White shut down in February of 03.
Okay.
And then I got opened in July of 04.
What'd you do for the in the middle of it?
I stayed home with kids. My wife was working.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's really something new.
I go, tell me about being a Mr. Mom. I don't mean it badly to call you that. I'm just trying to think of a good proper term.
It's more work than cutting meat all day. It is. You know, people don't, you know, people that don't do it.
I don't do
it. But you know, it's just, you know,
yeah.
It's.
Yeah, I don't do it and will never do it. And I can't imagine the amount of, the thing is.
And I enjoyed. I enjoyed every bit of it. I did. You know, being able to stay
home. How old were
and
your kids
time.
At the time?
Jenna was born in October of 02.
Uh-huh.
And then Johnny, he was born in 97. So
okay. So he was, he'd have been troublemaker age about then, right?
Yeah, a little ornery.
So you're there at the home at the house, helping your kids out, you know, making sure that your baby is growing up well enough, getting going. You decide, I need a break from this. I'm going to go out on my own and start the business, right? Well, that's not probably exactly the thought process, but
well, Nate McGahey got a hold of me, and he said he was wanting to start a business in town.
Uh huh.
And he said, and you know, a
so
lot
this
of people,
was before the cafe, then too, right?
Nate's no, ca- okay. Nate's was open. The cafe was open, but okay. He said he was okay. Wanting to do something else. And so I said, well, you know, how about a meat shop?
Well, you knew meat by then, right?
And then we were talking about, you know, working together on stuff. And then he said, you know, we had some other stuff come up, so I was going to be on my own, and I am. And
that's, well, that's pretty cool, though.
All right.
But I mean, he kind of the catalyst of it, right, kind of got you started on it, got you going and thinking in that direction. How does one get started in starting a business in this day and age? Just
one
you start
piece at
from
a time.
Scratch. Yeah. Is that right? Tell me about getting started.
Well,
I mean, the easiest. Do you find the freezers? Do you find the how do you get going on a meat shop?
The Red and White building was owned by a beer house.
Okay.
And Sons, and my dad, he didn't buy the building or the equipment.
Right. He bought the business.
And so when the store closed, you know, beer house owns
right.
You know that, and so I met with them and bought the cases.
Okay.
The deli case and the meat case.
Well, see, now that by that time it was probably they probably gave you a pretty nice deal on it, I'm presuming, right?
I'm not going to complain.
I'm not going to ask you.
But it was, you know, it's one of the situations where I'm needing it and they're
sure.
wanting to get rid of
sure.
it.
So
they it was fair. You know, they treated me well.
Were you able to get some of the equipment out of the butcher shop too, I guess? Did you purchase some of that too?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you got the meat shop going, and so I'm sitting here trying to think, okay, first thing I've got to get it going. Second thing, I need people. Where did you find the people? Who, I guess you found some of your old friends from Red and White, didn't you?
Yes.
Tell me who's all working out there.
You're thinking of Donita.
I'm thinking of Donita. Yeah.
I called her up and told her, I said, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row.
And Donita still wasn't kind of wasn't doing. Yeah, she was retired from Red and White, right? She wasn't doing a thing.
And you know, I thought, you know, in my mind, I've got a list of stuff to beg and plead for her to you know come up there and help at the shop,
do this, and you've got things that you know she's really good at.
And so I called her up and I said, I don't know if you've heard or not, but I'm trying to get everything together. Open a meat shop in Fairfield, and she said, can I have a job?
No kidding.
And I said, you don't want to hear my list? you know, your hours, your wages, you know, whatever you're wanting. I just want you up there.
isn't that the best way to hire somebody, though?
I mean, that's great.
That's the best way you can do it. What? All right, so now you gotta tell what all does Donita do for you. I know that she does the sandwich spread, doesn't she?
Yes.
Is that the favorite thing that she makes up there?
I would say so.
All right. Without giving away the family secrets, how do you go about making the sandwich spread, and how much do you think you make? Or you don't even know, I'll bet.
That's why I was getting ready to say, I don't even know.
She just walks through and takes a does she just walk through your butcher shop and take parts and ham and
different lunch
whatever?
Meats, different cheeses. Yeah.
And just makes it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she makes, golly, it's probably...
How much? Yeah, I was going to say, how much do you think she makes? I've talked to Keith about
it may be 80 to 90 pounds at a time.
At a time. And I've talked to Keith about this, about how she does it, because occasionally her shoulder will get to hurting her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm saying, well, you know, what's she doing to get her shoulder hurt? And then he told me how she goes about making it. Tell the folks how she goes about making the sandwich bread.
It's almost an all day process.
A little bit labor intensive too, isn't it?
Yes, on her part, not mine.
Yeah, not you.
The only thing that I really have to do is sanitize the grinder, because we use the big three-phase grinder to.
If you're gonna make a 90-pound batch of sandwich bread, okay, all right, you're gonna have to tell how she does it.
Yeah, she gets all the different meats and cheeses, and she. I hope she doesn't get upset, but she uses salad dressing. That's pretty much a given.
You got to. You have to.
And she mixes that with a couple other things. Uh-huh. And then she'll take all these different meats and cheeses and cut them into about 1-inch squares.
Okay.
To where after it goes through the grinder, it's mixed up.
Nice and malleable.
Good.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you don't get one bite that's all ham and another bite that's all American cheese.
Right. Sure. Or one bite that's all bologna one bite that's all something else. And how you got it? I'm leading you to the mixing. You got to tell about the mixing, the work.
It's just constant kneading. You know,
like kneading with a K.
Sort of like dough. You know, just.
And she'll do it for how long? This is tender, loving care in this.
Until she knows it's ready.
You know, he's not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. What she does, and this is at least how Keith has described it to me, and you keep showing me how she does it, but you're on the radio, Johnny. You got to tell. How does she do it?
It's just like kneading dough. Just
90 pound. It's like kneading a 90-pound loaf of bread.
Yes. And if this needs a little bit more, then we go over and work on that a little bit more. You know, just.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How often does she have to make another batch? Probably
once a week.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah.
You don't pay that woman enough. I don't know what you pay her.
I couldn't pay her enough. She's priceless.
See, now, and that's the thing. You figure that out from time to time whenever, so everybody has every workplace has folks who miss time for particular illnesses. Or she had the bad shoulder for a while, right?
Well, she had fallen. So, it's getting close to 2 years ago. Dislocated her shoulder.
Okay, that's what I was trying to remember what she got at.
And so we had a sandwich spread shortage for a while there. And
what exactly? You know, that's the thing. Usually when you have shortages and stuff, the price really goes up. But we were out. Yeah. You were out. You couldn't raise it. You couldn't start gouging people. And you wouldn't gouge people anymore.
So after a while, she come in. She said she'd coach me through it.
Okay. How'd that go?
Man, that's a lot of work. She's tough. Oh, she's tough.
She's a tough old girl, that's for sure.
So after that first time that she coached me through it, the next time she come in to coach, I had Marla Schoaf, who works there. So I had her come back and help, too.
Now, that makes sense, kind of share the knowledge.
Yeah,
right?
So after like 3 or 4 batches, I got back to just having to sanitize the grinder, and Donnie and Marla would work back
there
together.
That's what you were looking for. That's exactly what you were looking for to start with. Who else works there?
Marla Schoaf and Vicky King.
Okay. And I'm talking with Johnny Williams. We're talking about Johnny's Butcher Block here in downtown Fairfield. And we're going to talk more about where he gets his meat and what all they produce and serve. And I know you've got some interesting products there that you don't find anywhere else in town as well. And we'll talk a little bit more with Johnny here on the Bruce Dickey Show when we come back after these words.
Is a bloom shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day.
Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Also online at WFIWradio.com. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning back in. I've got a guest across the way. It is Johnny Williams from John's Butcher Block here in Fairfield. And we've been kind of skirting the, like how you skirt, kind of skirting the issue of the Butcher Block, saving the best for last, folks. You can give us a call. I know we had somebody who was interested in talking to Johnny at 842-3715 if you'd like to ask a question, a meat question. And I'll go ahead and ask the first meat question. I don't see you outside. You can leave those on. I don't. And if it's too high, go ahead and turn. There's your dial. You can turn up or down.
Okay.
To turn up your volume. I don't see you standing outside with a kill floor next to John's Butcher Block. You're not doing the killing there or anything like that, are you?
No, sir.
No, sir. Where are you getting your meat?
Majority of my meat comes from an outfit called Troyer's.
And okay.
They're based in Goshen, Indiana, way up by Michigan.
All right.
And order on Tuesday, get it on, or order on Monday, get it on Tuesday. Order on Thursday, get it on Friday.
I do see, we do have a caller with a question. Might let's see what they have to say. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Okay, John, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Arvis A. Mann from First Christian Church.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to place my hamburger order, if I can.
All right.
Well, yeah, Bruce has done you a good job this morning, and I'd like to order 70 pounds for next week.
Arvis, I'll take it down. He doesn't have a pen in front of him, but I'll take it down. You need 70 pounds of hamburger for the Christian Church, right?
That's for hamburger. That's for
Taco
Tuesday. Yeah.
I'll take it down. And make sure he gets out of here with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Arvis.
Thank you, Arvis.
Thanks for the order too, huh?
Yes.
It's been a while since I was an order taker. A little while, but that's pretty good. How often do you get? I guess that's probably a pretty good size part of your business, isn't it, Johnny? When you have the I wouldn't call them industrial, but the commercial folks, the churches, and that kind of thing that call in and have big, well, for them, a big order. You never know.
Yes, sir.
Other things like that, huh? How big a part of your business is that?
I don't know for sure. I haven't ever really run the numbers on it.
You've brought up another name here today that I think they're calling in. You might put the headset back on. This is like, I feel like the fellow on This Is Your Life taking this call. Good morning. You're on the radio, sir. Keep it clean.
Hey, what's happening, Johnny?
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm going to ask what's on everybody's mind is, do you think it's going to get cold enough this winter where you're going to wear pants?
I've made it through the past two winters without breaking out the long britches.
Okay, pal. You got like part Eskimo.
He is part Eskimo. That's clearly right. I meant to ask that. I hadn't gotten around to it. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Doing real well. Thanks for calling, man.
Have a good day, fellas.
You too.
Nate McGahey calling in. That brings up another question there, Johnny. And we'll get back to the meat here in a second. You don't wear pants. What exactly? How come you don't wear pants? What's your beef against pants? You see how I did that too?
I
was Mr. Pun.
I don't know. Just shorts are comfortable. I don't know. You know, I used to blame it on years of oppression on having to wear pants all the time working for my dad.
When I went to college,
they had a dress code where, you know, you had to wear pants.
Where'd you go to college?
ITT over in Evansville.
Okay, you want to take another call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on the radio with John Williams.
Yeah, is there a possibility I can get a crown roast for Christmas this year?
There sure is, Mr. Orr.
Hey, I'm just calling in to tell you how happy I am for you to be where you are today.
Well, thank you.
Started with you and your dad, 30, 40 years ago, and when I was 14, I think, or 15, sorting bottles out of Wags, too.
So, is that right?
That's great.
Just called in to congratulate you and tell you how happy I am for you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
You see, now, we didn't know that this was going to be a This Is Your Life show, Johnny, did we?
No.
Folks from Johnny's past call. Pretty soon, the old girlfriends are going to call in, and that's when we'll have to. That's when we won't be answering the phone. We'll make sure we keep a. I'll throw the numbers at you before the old girlfriends. All right. So Troyer up in Goshen.
Yes, sir.
They do the meat for you, huh? They for the most part, right?
They're a wholesaler where I get in cases of T-bones, cases of ribeyes, cases. It's already parted out. I don't get halves or quarters.
Do you, whenever you, I know that from time to time, and this is one of my favorite times of the year, whenever you have the beef tenderloin sale.
Yes.
I mean, let's all take a breath before we talk about the beef tenderloin sale, because it's my favorite part of the year. We always do a nice beef tenderloin for Christmas. And does that come from the same place as well? And does that come already prepared, or how's that work?
Yes. Well, they come in. A lot of people have me take. There's a membrane that runs along the tenderloin, and it's called the silver.
Sure.
And it'd be real tough. And a lot of people have me take that off. Some people.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. You'll do that?
Because I
work for about a half an hour each Christmas day. Cutting on a beef tenderloin to cut that thing
on that
out.
Tough strip that runs almost the whole length of it.
The whole length of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't know you'd take that out.
I sure will.
Well, now I feel like I've wasted Christmas Day time.
And it's a whole lot easier for me to do it back there at that cutting table.
That's probably true.
I mean, even, if I took one home and did it at home, it's just.
Well, you've got the tools.
Yes.
You've got the sharp tools. How do you keep your tools so sharp?
Now and then I'll run them through a sharpener. I got an electric sharpener.
Okay, I didn't know if you had the thing.
Run the steel on it,
right? Hey, see, now that's something you got to do, because you got to have the sharp. How often will you have the beef tenderloin on sale? You can get it anytime. You normally keep some in house, don't you?
Yeah. And I'll be getting more in for Christmas.
There he is. All right. What's a crown roast that Mr. Orr's talking about?
That's when you take the pork loin, bone-in pork loin.
Okay.
And you got to cut the backbone out of it, but you leave the rib bones.
Oh, okay.
And then you take it and end-to-end.
Spin it around.
You make a circle out of it, and all the rib bones stick out
like a crown. Oh, yeah. That's nice. I've seen that with lamb. I didn't realize they did a pork very much. That's pretty cool. That must be. Do you like your job? You look like you really enjoy your job.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I enjoy what I do, and I really enjoy the people.
I'll bet.
It's a wonderful community that we have here, and I'm very fortunate, feel very blessed to be a part of it.
Tell me a little bit now with. It must have been pretty stressful over the last few months, last year or so, I guess. When beef prices just go out of this world, that must be as trying as it can be for a businessman like yourself.
Yes, it went up and it goes up and it goes up. They blame it on the weather.
You're the expert. What is the reason? How come the price has gone up so much? Well,
expert,
it's come back down
expert.
Now.
Use that term loosely. And when I say I don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
It's just what you hear. But there's a drought in California, so they're selling herds off early. It was so cold in the Midwest that they die on the way to the market.
Sure,
they die out in the pasture.
Anyway,
I just think that somebody is making a lot of money off of it. And it's not the retailers. It's, I think, higher on up that there's somebody. Because when the beef went up, shortly after that, the pork goes up.
Right.
Well, we don't have to buy T-bones. We can eat pork chops.
Sure.
Well, and then we got this virus killing all these piglets. And so, let's make the pork go up.
Yeah.
And I figured, Well, next will be chickens. And after that, they'll start probably start raising fish, too.
I can tell you the same story from building materials. Whenever there's a tornado runs through Texas or a tornado runs through Oklahoma, the shingle prices just go boom.
Katrina and Rita.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember they went up a lot.
The price just goes up, just zooms up on building materials.
And how many people from New Orleans come up here to buy their rafters and 2x4s?
Not many. Not too many. That's for sure. I'm talking with Johnny Williams. We're talking about John's Butcher Block. Now you mentioned you keep. You've mentioned beef and pork, and you always have chicken there on hand. Do you keep fish on hand?
I've got mahi-mahi in there right now, and it's frozen.
Yeah, that, you don't bring in fresh fish, I guess.
No.
Right? Leave that for the folks who are experts on the fresh fish. Where do you does the fish come from the same place?
Yes.
Do you ever use more local folks like Daywig and that kind of thing?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact.
What do you use Daywigs for?
They've got
as distributors.
They've got beautiful bone-in pork loins, and I try to get all my bone-in pork loins off of them. The thing about Daywigs is I had a guy in the store yesterday wanting some fresh pig snouts.
Oh, really?
They kill over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Called them up. I'm gonna have them in there tomorrow. One day a guy come in wanting fresh pig ears.
No kidding.
Call him up, yeah.
For his dog, or was he going to cook him?
I don't know. I don't know.
not your problem. Well, that's interesting. So, all right, so if somebody comes in and wants something in particular, like say I'm coming in and I'm going to have like I want to make the finest meal I'm going to make. Can I ask you and you bring me in Kobe beef or some kind of fancy beef?
I don't know about getting the Kobe beef. The beef that I get off of Daywigs, I get last time I got an aged bone-in ribeye.
Standing rib roast?
But the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And an aged bone-in beef tenderloin. And by the time I got that in here, the retail on that was about $450.
You want to know the guy who's ordering that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right. And
when they use that, they come back and order more. You know, it's something that they know that they're going to, you know, it's a high-dollar item, but they like it.
That's the thing, Johnny. Have you ever been forced to change from Troyer from somebody else? Have you ever had issues with the quality of your meat from some distributor?
No.
No kidding.
Well, that's great. When I started, I used a company called Caddick, but they shut down. Golly, it was maybe 2.5 years, two and a half or 3.5 years after I opened. And Troyer's, they went to Carmi. They didn't come to Fairfield yet, but talking to my dad and my brother, I talked to Troyer's and they decided to come to Fairfield.
What's the biggest meat order you've ever filled? Can you tell me?
Boy, you know, I don't know.
Not by money, but like by poundage.
I don't know.
Nothing really jumps out at you.
We've done, I think, 3,000 pork chops for Cedarhurst in the past.
Wow. That's a nice order, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they continue to order?
Yes.
That's the thing. I asked the question without knowing, but that's the thing. That's the kind of business. Well, not you like the repeat customers, your normal customers.
It's
anyway.
Great when new people come in, but you need everybody to come back.
Yeah.
You know,
that's part of the deal, isn't it? What other specialty items can one find there at the Butcher Block? I know you bring in sodas that nobody else has.
You're a fan of the pineapple soda?
Well, my wife is. I've never had it. I've tasted it.
I don't like pineapple. I don't know. Well, how about strawberry?
I do like strawberry.
Or grape.
Yes, I like strawberry. I like strawberry. So you can bring those in, huh?
Yeah. Coca-Cola, they bottle, and I'm sure it's available at other places, but they bottle it in Mexico, and they use cane sugar, and it's in glass, and it's just – It's the sodas you remember.
You're kind of trying to fill a niche, aren't you, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's pretty good. And so you've talking with John Williams of Johnny's Butcher Block here in Fairfield, or John's Butcher Block here in Fairfield, and in business for 12 years now?
11 and a half.
11 and a half. What's the future? We're going to expand? You going to take over Matt? You going to kick Matt out of his office?
No way. No way. It's really nice having an attorney as a neighbor.
Well, I bet that's true. I bet that couldn't be more true. Well, I'll speak for Lynn and Tom and Terry and Jeff and all the folks out here today. We certainly do appreciate you bringing out lunch today. Thank you again so much for coming out.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
Well, wonderful, John. I'm glad you're here. Thanks a lot for coming. Folks, that's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.